Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And the payoff, swing and a miss, strike three, and the ball game is over. The Diamondbacks beat the Cubs 7-3.
You heard that right here on 670 The Score. You'll hear Cubs baseball coming up on 670 The Score later this afternoon. 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch for game 3 of that series against the Diamondbacks. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel this Sunday morning on Hit and Run. Coming up on the show, Scott Merkin, White Sox beat writer for MLB.com, will join me at 11. Will Salmon, Brewers writer for The Athletic, joins me coming up at 12. I am live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Covering the Cubs for The Athletic is Patrick Mooney, who joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Patrick, thanks for a few minutes this morning. How are you?
No problem. How are you doing?
Doing well. Sort of walking on eggshells, waiting for whatever is going to happen with these Cubs between now and the trade deadline. And I was reading your piece at The Athletic this morning, talking about a reset, a bridge year, like we saw with the Red Sox in between World Series championships for that club. And I like the idea, Patrick. The thing that I can't wrap my head around, and maybe you can help me wrap my head around it, is why does it seem like a foregone conclusion that Chris Bryant won't be part of that, when it seems to me like he makes the most sense to build this new era of Cubs baseball around?
Well, I think it's a lot of factors here. I think you shouldn't rule anything out. That's not predicting him coming back. I think it's a lot more complicated than people think. Like, yeah, trade him for prospects, sign him back. Like, the Red Sox thought they could do that with John Lester, and we all saw how that worked out. But really, I mean, Jed is going to be dealing with almost a blank canvas here, and that is ultimately, if he wants to, he can certainly bring Chris Bryant back. And I think the way things have gone make that less likely, but look, players love being in Chicago. That was part of the point of the story. No one thought Dexter Fowler, after that great season in 2015, would come back, that everyone thought he'd get paid. And, you know, the market wasn't exactly what he thought, and they surprised everyone when he showed up at spring training. I mean, things with Jake Arrieta didn't end on, like, the highest of notes, but he still came back years later. So I think really the stability the Cubs have had for the last 7 years is really unusual, and we have to kind of retrain our thoughts to, like, new possibilities and, you know, not ruling anything out. That's how this front office, from the moment Theo got here, was, we don't rule out anything, we'll kick the tires on anything, and we'll see what happens.
What do you think the trade market is for Chris Bryant right now? Because the market for rental players has not been great in the last few years. Patrick, do you think that could factor into how the Cubs decide to play this whole Chris Bryant situation? If they don't see what they want on the trade market, maybe they do consider trying to keep him around here long term once the offseason rolls around?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, not only just rental players, but particularly rental hitters.
Right.
You look at Manny Machado or J.D. Martinez, even, you know, Nelson Cruz as, you know, essentially a designated hitter, you know, getting, what, two interesting arms is kind of the... So, yeah, I mean, and Nelson Cruz is not like a franchise kind of icon who won a World Series for the Twins. And so there's obviously a lot going on here. I think it usually takes a deadline to spur some action, and I think it'll be interesting to see how Jed packages these players too, that if a team, you know, wants a hitter but needs either a reliever or more depth of rotation in someone like Zach Davies, and that's where it's kind of this maze that Jed is trying to work his way through here this week.
Talking with Patrick Mooney, senior writer at The Athletic, here, Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run with you on a Sunday morning. Is there a market for Anthony Rizzo right now, given his offensive struggles, and is that something that the Cubs are exploring, or do you think he's probably part of the core that moves forward in this new era and that bridge year that you wrote about at The Athletic?
Well, I think it's what Jed likes to say. You know, look, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we weren't taking those calls, so I have no doubt that they would explore those options, but it goes back to, you know, what are the Cubs going to really get for that? And I don't think Anthony or Jed has closed out the possibility of him coming back next season. They were clearly engaged in contract negotiations before the start of the season. And while that didn't end in the way that Anthony would have hoped, each side knows where the other stands on this. I mean, they've exchanged a ton of information over the years. There's a lot of shared history there. Anthony's in a different spot than Javi or KB because he's already signed an extension. Like, he plays a different position. Being in Chicago, I think, matters long-term to his legacy and what he wants to do with the rest of his life. So, I think it would make sense to kind of just play it out with both him and Javi and kind of let a new collective bargaining agreement, let the market kind of dictate where the Cubs have to or want to go from here.
Yeah, the free agent market, that is, we've been talking about the trade market, but the free agent market this offseason might disappoint some of these guys that we're talking mm-hmm. about with the Cubs, with Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, and maybe bring them right back to the north side, right, Patrick?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of the game of, you know, musical chairs here, and, you know, there's just a ton of unknowns other than they have loved playing here over the years. The Cubs know these guys inside and out better than anyone, and I think as much as this team needs some change and some new blood, there's also risk in that too, and they know how these guys, you know, their weak spots, they know their strengths, and, you know, at the end of the day, these players know that they get taken care of here in Chicago in a way that might not be as obvious or as guaranteed somewhere else.
Would it make any sense for Craig Kimbrell to still be in a Cubs uniform after July 30th and part of that bridge year and that reset that you talked about in your Athletic, or should we assume Craig Kimbrell will be in a different uniform after Friday night?
Yeah, I highly doubt it. I get where you're coming from, but I don't know. Is Craig Kimbrell ever going to be pitching better than he is right now? Is there any team that can look at Craig Kimbrell and say, "Nah, we're good. You know, we don't need that for October." I think this is a time to. It's not going to be getting, say, Gleyber Torres. I don't think anyone will be as desperate or as motivated as Theo Epstein was in the middle of the 2016 season. But there's no reason to think that teams won't come hard after, you know, a borderline Hall of Famer who's at like the top of his game right now and whose value will exponentially increase in a playoff format.
Is he the top prize on the trade market ahead of the trade deadline on Friday?
Well, I think the Cubs would tell you that privately. I think that's how they're looking at it, that he is probably the most valuable trade chip out there. Now, I guess the Nationals have been kind of sinking here, right? So, and if Max Scherzer can be available here in the next couple of days, maybe that changes it for a team that wants him. But he has, you know, no-trade clause. And with Kimbrel, I think you can sell it to yourself as he helps us this year, can help us next year, then maybe it's worth the cost for a guy who's proven and has really, like, no question marks at this point. And we've all seen how bullpen takes center stage in October, and you could really do a favor to your manager, to your lineup, and send a message to your fans that we're going to win this year with someone like Craig Kimbrel working backwards from him.
Talking with Patrick Mooney of The Athletic here on Hit and Run. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel for just a couple more minutes. So just your gut instinct, Patrick, just gut instinct, and obviously what you've heard and what you know from inside the Wrigley Field walls, how much of a shakeup do you think we're going to see between now and Friday in the trade deadline?
Well, I think the shakeup, we've been bracing for it and preparing for it since, like, spring training or the Yu Darvish trade or the UF thing saying our offense broke, like, what was that, 10 years ago? I'm kind of losing track here, but it's
feels like it.
Yeah, it's kind of Groundhog Day of, like, you know, like the idea of the Cubs essentially firing Joe Maddon would have sounded, like, shocking
right
in 2018. But then it was set up in this way where, you know, we're going to focus on this next year. We're not going to talk contract. And it kind of chipped away at the unbelievability of something like that happening. And I think with here, I mean, the Chris Bryant trade rumors kind of started at that same GM meetings, if I remember correctly, of Theo saying, no, we're not going to talk extension with Joe's people. And kind of out of that GM meetings, and it was a little premature, and I think some of it was misconstrued, but it started with this idea of, hey, we're open to anyone, anything, no one's untouchable, and that you know, they talked about a Nolan Arenado deal with the Rockies, and then, you know, Bryant got a welcome to the Mets text message while he was on a Las Vegas golf course in January. So as crazy as that would have sounded, say, during the World Series parade, I think everyone's prepared for this, and if it's Bryant, Kimbrel, Davies, Chafin, Pera, maybe I'm missing one other guy, I think that's probably a reasonable guess of what could happen by middle of the day on Friday.
That's Patrick Mooney, senior writer at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at PJ_Mooney. Really, really enjoyed that article about the bridge year and this transition that we might see for this Cubs team coming up, Patrick. Thanks a lot for a few minutes of your time, man.
Thanks, Jamie. Be good.
Same to you. And he joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Let's talk about this looming fire sale for the Chicago Cubs. 312-644-6767. How do you feel about a fire sale? Are you going to check out on this baseball team? Are you kind of looking forward to it? 312-644-6767. You can text or call the show using that phone number. You can tweet the show at 670 The Score, at Hit and Run 670. This is what David Ross had to say, a message to fans ahead of the trade deadline coming up on Friday.
I would just say we're not concerned about that, and we can't control those things. I would say, and come to the field and enjoy an amazing atmosphere and a guys that have been a part of winning around here. I think there's a lot of wait and see. Like, I don't think any of that's in our control. Like, I don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. Neither do you guys. Neither do the fans. I would come out and support the team that they've loved probably most of their lives.
There's David Ross, Cubs manager, talking about what may end up happening here between now and the trade deadline on Friday. And it's going to be a different looking Cubs team, guys. How do you feel about it? Are you going to check out on this team? Are you kind of looking forward to it? 312-644-6767. And I frame it that way, and saying, are you worried about this? Are you walking on eggshells? Are you kind of looking forward to it? Because I have mixed feelings about what's about to go on with the Chicago Cubs. Almost every time I've filled in here for Matt on Hit and Run and some other shifts I've done here on The Score, and we talk about this Cubs team and we talk about what's impending between now and the trade deadline, I always say the sentimental side of me would probably sign this core of guys to lifetime contracts, okay? Just because of what they gave us with that 2016 World Series championship. And let's not dismiss or demean or minimize, what else they've done besides winning that World Series. This has been a really, really strong run for the Chicago Cubs. Did we want more out of it? Yes, obviously. We wanted a dynasty from this group of guys, but that's never anything that you should expect. I host the afternoon show on 1250 AM The Fan up here in Milwaukee. That's my weekday job. And two days after the Bucks bring home the NBA championship, people are having the discussion of how many championships do you expect out of the Giannis era with the Bucks. And I have to tell people, slow down, man. Pump your brakes. Never expect championships, and certainly never expect dynasties. It just too much goes into winning one title, much less winning two or three titles. And a lot of that is out of your control in terms of your luck, whether we're talking about injuries or other things, or you're talking about other teams' luck. No franchise exists in a vacuum. So let's appreciate what we got for the last 6-7 years out of this Chicago Cubs team. And because of what we've gotten out of the last 6-7 years from this team, and a lifelong suffering Cubs fan before this era, I have strong sentimental ties. I have heartstrings tied to this Cubs team. And that side of me says, just lock them all up. You have the money, lock them all up. Let's keep on trying at this thing until they bring home another World Series trophy. But the practical side of me, the more practical side of me, knows that even a team like the Cubs in a market like Chicago, where they're printing money again after COVID-19 and everything opening back up, and them having the TV network and owning most of Wrigleyville, they're back to printing money and recouping those losses of the last year, slowly but surely recouping those losses of last year. And I think if the Ricketts really wanted to, they could write checks to sign all those guys, to lock up all those guys to long-term contract extensions, and we keep on doing this thing. But let's be real. Let's be real about what this thing was. And the truth is, given everything that I just said about appreciating what we just had, this is about winning trophies. This is about hanging banners. And since 2016, we've had 5 years of this team coming up short, and coming up short in the same way time and time and time again. And you don't just keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. That is very cliche. That is the definition of insanity. Something has to change. Something has to change, and as long as it's not a complete teardown and rebuild, and it's more of the Red Sox model reset with a bridge year, like I was just talking about with Patrick Mooney, and you can read his piece at The Athletic. As long as it's that, and I don't have to go through years and years and years of suffering, I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with that. And actually, I'm even kind of looking forward to it in a way. I'm kind of looking, it's the unknown, which can be scary, but it's also the unknown, which can be kind of exciting. And I don't think that the Cubs are going to be cheap in this new era moving forward. Maybe too cheap to re-sign a Chris Bryant, but I don't think that they'll be cheap moving forward. I think they'll continue to be a big market, big spending team. And I do have faith in Jed Hoyer and the Cubs front office and scouting department to lead us into this next era of Cubs baseball. So while it is going to be sad to see whoever go from this team that has given us so much over these next few years, it's also a little bit exciting, and I'm also kind of looking forward to it. And I think I'll be just as tuned in to Cubs baseball after a fire sale, should that be what comes on Friday, as I have been up until now. I'd rather we just keep on contending for World Series. Obviously, that's what we all want. But these things happen in cycles, guys. We should not have expected this to last forever. Patrick Mooney just basically told me that a minute ago. We should not have expected this thing to last forever. I have ideas about how I want it to look in this reset and this bridge year moving forward in a new era of Cubs baseball, but I know I won't get everything I want. You never do. You never do when talking about these types of things, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. How about you? How are you guys feeling about a potential fire sale happening between now and the trade deadline on Friday for the Chicago Cubs? You scared? You sad? You upset? Maybe a little excited? Are you going to check out? 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel. And I'll get to your calls, get to your texts, get to your tweets right after this on 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run this Sunday morning with you, taking you right up to Cubs baseball. They take on the Diamondbacks this afternoon, 12:45 pregame, first pitch at 1:20 with Pat and Ron on the call. Just talked with Patrick Mooney of The Athletic about this Cubs team and what appears to be an impending fire sale with the trade deadline coming up this Friday. Asking, how are you feeling about that, Cubs fans? Are you going to check out on this team? Are you dreading it? Are you a little excited, a little intrigued by it? 312-644-6767 is how you can call or get in on the text line. Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I kind of have all those feelings. I have the same sentimental attachment to this group of guys that a lot of you do. They gave us all something that we waited a lifetime for, and Cubs fans came and went and never saw, which was a World Series championship in 2016 and a good 6-7 years of contention and winning divisions and making the playoffs. But all good things must come to an end. How are you feeling about that right now, Cubs fans? At 312-644-6767. Give me a call or a text or tweet the show at 670 the score or at Hit and Run 670. Let's go to Chuck up in Iola, Wisconsin, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Chuck?
Morning. I want about the Cubs. Let's look at this from Ricketts' point of view. First of all, he got burned on the Hayward deal. And by the way, he's going to be getting paid through 2028, counting deferrals. Then he got nervous about Darvish's contract, got rid of him. Then all those core players were offered extensions, and they were all turned down. So why would Ricketts want to offer him more money than he's already offered him, especially since Crane Kenny came on and said the Cubs are going to lose money in 2021? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know. Do you believe Crane Kenny when he says that? I know they didn't have fans full house of fans to start the season, but you really believe that between everything that they own in Wrigleyville, between the gate at Wrigley Field, between all the merchandise, between the Marquee Sports Network, you really think that they're losing money this year?
Well, all right, let's take that out of it, though. But why would... I mean, you've already offered him extensions. I have to believe that the extension offers weren't insulting. So, you know, this group of players, they're good players. I'm not saying they're bad players, but they don't mesh. They haven't meshed in 3 years. They just this particular group of players somehow just doesn't work. And why would you want to bring them all back again? That's crazy.
That's what I said. And a texter hit me up and said, you'd bring back all four of these guys, thanks for the call, after they've failed the last 4 years. Sean, do people listen? Is listening a lost art? Sean Anderson, producer back in the... Is listening a lost art? Because wasn't I pretty clear when I said that, like, the sentimental side of me would bring all those guys back with lifetime contracts? That's the meatball in me. We all have a meatball somewhere in us. But the more practical, more reasonable side of me says that something probably has to change. I said that. Did I not? Did I not say that pretty clearly?
You did. You did say
okay.
That.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, man, I get it. It's not even realistic for everything that I'm saying about the Cubs printing money, and I don't buy the biblical losses. I don't buy that they're losing money again in 2021, and they shouldn't have expected to make their nut back that they spent to invest in the Chicago Cubs all in one season. They never expected that, and trying to make you believe that is a false narrative. The Cubs are going to make back every penny that they spent. The Ricketts are going to make back every penny that they spent investing in this team that they've put in, and then some. All right, they're not selling the Cubs anytime soon. Wrigley Field is going to continue to be a huge draw. They're going to continue to own most of that neighborhood, and they're going to continue to make money off the marquee network. That's why they told us they had to pull that team off WGN and start their own network so that they could have wheelbarrows of money to put into the team. But even having said that, I'm reasonable enough, I'm realistic enough, I'm practical enough to understand that you can't, even if this thing was working, even if the Cubs were still winning or coming close to winning, sniffing World Series year in and year out, it's probably not realistic to expect them to extend all four of Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Contreras. I understand that. I get it. And that's why on some level, I'm okay with the reset. I'm okay with a new era in Cubs baseball, and because of the fact that it just hasn't worked. They've come up short now 5 straight years, and they've come up short in very similar fashion for the last 5 straight years. No, I don't want them to keep doing this, but at the same time, I'm only going to accept and be okay with a certain level of a teardown before this reset and rebuild. And again, I don't think it has to be Chris Bryant that goes. I think the Cubs could very easily go into this offseason and say, we're going to pay whatever we have to pay to keep that guy. Not all of them, but that guy. Go ahead, bring on a bidding war. This ain't Milwaukee, man. This ain't Pittsburgh. This ain't Tampa Bay, where you just have to accept the fact that you can't afford to keep your best player. That's not where we're at. The Cubs should be able to keep Chris Bryant at almost any cost, and I would keep Chris Bryant at almost any cost. But he seems to be the guy that there's the most smoke around when we talk about trade rumors. Let's go to Tony in Lincoln Square. You're on Hit and Run. What's up, Tony?
Hey, gents. Thanks so much for taking my call. This is a wonderful topic, and I love new beginnings, and I think Jed Hoyer is fantastic. And you know what? Let him start with his own new core. And you know what? Whether he brings back Chris Bryant or not, that's his decision. You know, I always look back at the Nationals. They let go of Bryce Harper. They kept him for the whole season. The next season, they went out and they won the World Series. So the one guy who I do think we really need to keep is Wilson Contreras. You know what? As much as I love Riz, I was just looking at his stats yesterday. I mean, the guy has 11 home runs. He hit 11 home runs last year in 50 games. He's just an average player right now. And there's, as we know, there's 4 or 5 great shortstops. Let Baez go test a free agent market. And you know what? Let him get humbled a little bit. Let him see that he's going to get 5 years for maybe 90 or 100 million. It's not going to be much more than that. And let these guys go test and see what they're going to get. And you know what? Let's bring in this whole new core fish. I mean, I don't know if you know, if you look at our prospects, but our top 25 prospects, like 9 of them are pitchers, and these guys all throw 95 plus. So we've got a whole group of young pitchers coming in. That this is a very, very, very exciting time for Cubs baseball. And my only thing is when the heck are we going to DFA Jason Hayward? That guy is worthless, and he eats a payroll, and I'm just done with him. And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Appreciate the call. I kind of love Jason Hayward, just a dude. And another caller earlier said that the Cubs got screwed with Jason Hayward, or the Ricketts didn't get their money's worth with that dude. Man, you won a World Series. When you make free agent signings and you win one World Series after that, to me personally, totally worth it. Absolutely, 100%, totally. Has the production on paper equaled the salary? No, probably not. I can't say that. But just winning that one World Series, and I don't know what the pep talk or the speech was during the rain delay in Cleveland, but whatever that was, that right there, worth it. The Cubs were World Series champions, and I waited, I don't know, 36 years to that point in my life to be able to say that. So I'm good with Jason Hayward. I understand where he's at in his career. Does he need to be a part of the Cubs moving forward? No, absolutely not. Would I DFA him? I don't think I'd go that far, especially given what this season is. Let that dude play it out, ride it out, decide what you're going to do with him in the offseason. As far as the core four of guys, and the caller there talking about who's at the top of his list and how you might be able to keep whoever it is that you choose to keep, I said this in the first hour of the show, and I hate to say it, love the dude, but to me, Anthony Rizzo, for the same reasons that the caller just pointed out, probably be the odd man out for me. He's the oldest guy of the core four. The production has dipped dramatically. I don't want to see him go, but I understand that we're breaking this thing up, and that would be the first guy that I would move on from if I'm the Chicago Cubs out of the core four. Chris Bryant is at the top of my list. Guys of that caliber, guys who win MVPs and rookies of the year and put up the type of production that he puts up, just don't come along very often. And yeah, Wilson Contreras right behind him, because catchers are rare and harder to come by than a lot of other positions around Major League Baseball. And what he said about Baez, I think there is some validity to what he's saying about Javier Baez there. You're going to have four or five top-tier shortstops hitting the free agent market this year. That might water down the market, water down the price for a Javi Baez, especially given his strikeout numbers compared to some of those other guys that are going to be out there on the free agent market at the shortstop position, and maybe bring him back to the Cubs. But you can't bring back all these guys, and while I'm going to hate to see whoever go, that last caller talked about new beginnings and how they can be exciting, and that's how I'm going to try to look at this thing. Not only financially was it never realistic to keep all these guys around forever, but just from a baseball standpoint, it's not working. It's not working. Five straight years now, you've come up short with this group of guys. You've come up short in the very same fashion. So go ahead and change things up, and I just hope and pray that they do it right when they change things up. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run with you on a Sunday morning. Cubs baseball is coming up here on 670 The Score. You're home for Cubs baseball, 12:45 first pitch, or excuse me, 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch as they take on the Diamondbacks. We'll be back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Contreras drives one in the air, deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Wilson Contreras, opposite field home run. Cubs lead 2-0.
He's a passionate player. I love his passion. Yeah, I've got thrown out of games. I think that's just part of the game when you're upset. He probably has as good a feel as anybody when you're catching about where the strike zone's been all day. He's hitting, you know, things like that can play into that. So I haven't, you know, I know he's passionate, was kind of, you know, I think passionate for a teammate there in a situation. Maybe he felt like a call or two didn't go our way. I don't know. I love everybody's passion for the game and trying to win, for sure.
There's Cubs manager David Ross after Wilson Contreras ejected from that 7-3 loss against the Diamondbacks yesterday after a long rain delay just to get a few more outs in the bottom of the ninth. Contreras probably a little cranky about that and the strike zone, and was given an early invite to the showers. Cubs and D-backs again this afternoon, 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch right here on The Score with Pat and Ron on the call. Lineups are out for this one. It'll be Contreras leading off and at catcher, followed by Bryant in right field, Rizzo, Baez, Wisdom, Mariznick, David Bode back in the lineup and batting seventh at third base. Nico Horner will be at second base and batting eighth, and Trevor Williams on the mound batting ninth for the Cubs today. Again, 12:45 first pitch. 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch right here on 670, The Score, for the finale of that set with the Diamondbacks. Sean Anderson back in the studio. Did you realize that it's been 1 year since opening day and 1 year since the start of David Ross's tenure as a Chicago Cubs manager? Forget the second part of that for just a second. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But yesterday, I was reading about his 1 year anniversary as manager, and it just doesn't feel like 1 year ago we were playing a 50-game Major League Baseball season in front of cardboard cutouts when you look at what's going on at Wrigley Field and at Guaranteed Rate Field right now. It's like it feels like a lifetime ago that was our lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was about to ask, does it feel longer or shorter? But it definitely feels longer. I think they started doing this search back in October of 19, so we kind of had an idea for about, like, you know, two-ish years now that he was going to be the manager.
Right. But a year ago, just a year ago, we were all stuck in our houses and watching baseball being played in empty stadiums in front of cardboard cutouts. It feels like ages ago. It feels like eons ago that's the world that we are living in, and hopefully more people get vaccinated and we never have to go back to that world. But how do you feel about David Ross after 1 year as the manager of the Chicago Cubs? What's your assessment, your evaluation? 312-644-6767. How do you feel about Rossi as the manager of the Cubs? Here's just laying out what he's done as the head man, the skipper, down in that dugout for the Chicago Cubs in 1 year. We've played almost a full baseball season with him as the manager. He's got himself a 78-72 record. Did win that division in that COVID shortened season last year that came with a lot of challenges, man. I don't think that's to be, you can look at that and say, what is a division championship in a 60 game season, and how do you measure that? How much credit do you give to a manager in a 60 game season? For a first year manager, for a rookie manager who had a lot of questions around him coming into that season as far as what were his credentials, what were his qualifications, was this more of a PR hype move to bring in Grandpa Rossi and keep people, you know, tied into this team and excited about that era of Chicago Cubs baseball? But man, so many challenges in that season, and I really liked, I always talk about how, yeah, we can talk about strategic moves of a manager and X's and O's if we're talking about a different sport. But to me, a lot of what managing is, and especially in this day and age where, let's be real, analytics and things like that have factored in much more into a coach's decision making, a manager's decision making than the gut did in past eras of baseball. A lot of what managing and coaching is in this era of modern sports is managing personalities and having your team in the right state of mind and having your team not too high, not too low for a given moment, and especially over the course of a long baseball season. I think that's one of the real challenges for a manager. And I thought for a rookie manager, for a first year guy stepping into that role, and for all the challenges that last year presented, winning that division is actually a big check in David Ross's favor if we're evaluating his 1 year as the manager now. But it was the same old story in October. After that season and you win that division, it was the same old story in October, and that story was the offense just going flat and letting you down again, and being the reason that the Cubs' tenure in October was very, very short. And again, the same old story here in 2021. It's the same things plaguing this Cubs team that has plagued this Cubs team throughout the Joe Maddon era. And that's an offense that's inconsistent. That's an offense that just has never, you haven't been able to get guys on the same page and all rolling at the same time and just have a consistent offense for what's been a really, really good pitching staff, man. Again, we're running into this problem. And this season had its own challenges. It certainly had its own challenges with the looming question mark over this baseball team and who was going to be here and who wasn't. And that question mark grows larger. We've been talking a lot about that on the show this afternoon as the trade deadline approaches. But despite those challenges, I looked at the 2021 Cubs, and mainly I looked at this division, and despite trading Yu Darvish and despite the question marks that hung over this team, I thought this was a division that was winnable. And if you were in contention to win this division right now, 5 days away from the trade deadline, who knows how different this picture really looks when we talk about the future of the Chicago Cubs. I can tell you right now, if this was a contending team, as badly as the Ricketts want to get out from under some of these contracts or the looming contracts of the core four guys on this team, there wasn't going to be a sell-off at the trade deadline if the Cubs were a contending baseball team right now. We are very loyal as a fan base, Cubs fans are, to the point sometimes we're just downright stupid. I'm willing to say that myself. We are a super, super loyal fan base, almost to the point of being stupid sometimes. But try selling us on trading this group or trading from this group of guys who won a World Series in 2016 while they're in contention to win this division, make a deep playoff run, and maybe bring another World Series home before it's all broken up. A last dance, if you will, for this group of guys. That wasn't going to happen. So had Rossi overcame the challenges that came with this season and put himself, put this team in position to contend for and win what was a very winnable division, almost a war of attrition in this division when you look at what the contending teams in the NL Central did or did not do in the offseason, this was doable. This was doable for David Ross in his second year as the manager of the Cubs. Not, I won't say likely. I won't say that they should have won the division, that they should be contending right now. I'll just say that it was doable. So for me, maybe exceeded expectations in that short season last year in his first season as the manager. But really, and this is maybe a little too harsh. Maybe I'm setting the bar a little too high. Coming up short of expectations here in 2021. They should at least be in the conversation for the NL Central right now, despite the question marks hanging over this team, despite trading Yu Darvish in the offseason. For me, and I'm asking you, how do you feel about David Ross 1 year into his tenure as the Cubs manager at 312-644-6767? Give me a call, give me a text, tweet the show at 670 the score or at hit and run 670. For me, the jury is still out for David Ross as the manager of the Cubs. I'm totally fine, obviously, keeping him in place right now and seeing if he is the dude for this bridge year and whatever is this new look Cubs in this new era after the reset. I have enough faith in him to say, yeah, let's keep finding out what kind of manager David Ross is. But if you ask me, am I sold that this is a guy to lead the Cubs into a new era, I'm not totally sold that he's the guy to lead the Cubs into a new era. How about you? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to my old stomping grounds of Palatine. And Jeff, you're on Hit and Run. What's up, Jeff?
Well, I just want to say one thing about it because I've been a Cub. I come from a family of Cub fans, and I'm in my late 60s now. And I can't tell you how many millions of games I've been to. But the fact is, it's the same old story. They keep guys too long. And how do you let, when Nolan Arenado last year wants to come to the Cubs, you didn't trade Brian for him. Time to make a change. They didn't do that. The year before that? They didn't even after, same thing with Rizzo. Why don't you go after, if he's available, Paul Goldschmidt? And then figure out a way to trade Rizzo or put him in another position. How do you let those two guys get away? Number one, and at the worst, go to St. Louis. That's the worst thing. And as far as Ricketts goes, he doesn't want to pay money. We get these guys under one-year contracts all the time. There's only one Ben Zorbist. And the fact is that how do you let a guy like Castellanos go? You were what, only giving him $40 million? And you would let him walk away? Come on. And that was your leadoff man. Because since Fowler, we haven't had a leadoff man, and that hurts. And nobody's ever said anything. But I'm not trying to get a leadoff man. Well, there's a new philosophy in baseball. We don't need a leadoff man. We could do it with a power hitter. But we weren't doing it with anybody. The only person who was doing anything was Fowler. So, I mean it's almost like they take lessons from the McCaskies on how to run a club. Because you could sell out that park at any time. As far as Ross goes, I don't know, Madden or Ross.
Did he drop off? What just happened there, Sean?
Oh, hello?
No, there he is. Go ahead. You cut off when you started talking about David Ross. Go ahead.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference between Ross and Madden. Ross makes excuses for them all the time. The other one, a comment after a game about how things were, he'd say, well, we really played somewhat good. We only had that bad inning. If somebody didn't make this pitch or whatever, I'm sorry. I don't really know where the Cubs are going, if you want to know the truth. You let Castellanos go. You let Yu Darvish go. Schwarber truthfully wasn't doing much, and I'm a big Schwarber fan. But I'm glad he went to Washington and got all that money, because the Cubs thought he'd be crying back to them and for a minimum amount of money. But that's just how I feel.
Jeff, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And he brings up some good points about this Cubs team. There is only one Ben Zorbist. They should have locked up Castellanos for a number of years. And as far as the leadoff man, I don't feel like you need a classic, prototypical leadoff man to have a good lineup. But he's right. What the Cubs have done with the leadoff position has not been good enough. You're not going to get every free agent and every big high-profile guy that's out there with Arenado and who else did he mention? Goldschmidt. It sucks that Arenado and Goldschmidt both ended up on the Cardinals, and maybe the Cubs could have done something to prevent that from happening and have them in a Cubs uniform, but I'm not the guy who expects them to go after every high-profile dude that hits the market. David Ross being the same as Joe Maddon, he's probably got some of that in him. I mean, that's the guy who he was sitting next to for a number of years and sort of absorbing the way that he manages baseball games and the way that he manages a baseball team. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, man. Joe Maddon has had a lot of success in this league. A lot of success in this league, and I wasn't necessarily sold that you needed to move on from him. But maybe the same coaching style packaged differently and given a fresh approach is what the Cubs thought would work, because it was working to a degree with Joe Maddon. They just needed a little more out of it. We're going to talk with Scott Merkin of MLB.com about the White Sox in just a minute. But first, let me get in Brendan in East Troy. You're on Hit and Run. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, you know, I'd like to know who Rossi is as far as the dugout, because I just finished reading this book, and it's a great book, good read. He takes a lot from Joe Maddon, like you're talking about with the last caller. But he had a Rossi in the clubhouse. He had a guy that was going to call guys out, that was going to be friendly to a point, and then big brotherly, and then up your, you know, on a guy's ass if you needed to be, right? I don't see that on this team. The one guy that tried it, he got called out nationally in Contreras, and was, I couldn't believe that Ross did that after reading his book and all of the things that he had done publicly and in the locker room. But going to the trade and the team, you mentioned something about Cubs fans and being, you know, fiercely loyal, almost stupid. The thing is, the place is never empty, man. It's always a party. If fans were real, and I'm not saying real fans, fake fans, but if they're really pissed off or going to do something about it, they wouldn't show up to the ballpark. But that's never going to happen at that stadium. So that, I don't think the fans drive the decisions or the care of ownership, because there's a million of fans to fill that place on a daily basis. They've got to make baseball decisions, and they need some grit guys. They got a lot of dudes. They got a lot of good buddies. They need some grit guys, and it seems like every time they have a grit guy, that's the first guy on the chopping block. And I just think that they have a lot of good dudes, a lot of good guys, guys we'd all love to hang out with, great personalities on and off the field. But they're getting old, and I think Maddon's lack of forced practice type of things, like real practicing, has transferred to Ross, and you can see it in the hitting. You can see it in the approaches.
Brendan, thanks for the call, man. I got to get to a break. I appreciate the call, though. Look, locker room chemistry absolutely matters. If that's what you mean by grit guys, guys who just, they're gamers, they show up every day and just go to work and do the job. But I don't think that's the problem with, I don't think the makeup of the guys is the problem with this Cubs team. I think it's just the makeup of the lineup. Just from a purely baseball standpoint, you have too many strikeouts in this lineup. You don't have enough on base percentage in this lineup. I just think that it looked good in the beginning, but ultimately poorly conceived when it all got put together for the long haul, for the long run. You could catch lightning in a bottle with that type of a lineup, but just it was going to be hard to consistently squeeze all the juice out of that lemon with this Cubs lineup. I think that that's ultimately the error, the fatal mistake that this regime made, and it's why, and again, I say this tongue in cheek to a degree, we only have one World Series. You should be happy with that. We should all be happy with one World Series. That's hard enough to do on its own, and a lot of us who are long suffering know exactly how hard it is to do just that. The White Sox are trying to do just that. We're going to talk about it with Scott Merkin, White Sox beat writer for MLB.com. We'll talk about this series with the Brewers and what might be coming between now and the trade deadline with Scott right after this. Rami Makhlouf in for Matt Spiegel. It's Hit and Run on a Sunday morning on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.